Sure, good to see everybody this evening. So originally I was scheduled to speak a couple Sundays ago, but luckily Brother Eric Stone took my place. And unfortunately, well, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but my topic that I was going to speak on was a topic of forgiveness. But Brother Juan took that topic the last Sunday, so I decided to just go ahead and leave it at that, and he did a really good job, and I don't feel like if I could top that. So I had came up with a new topic, and luckily with finals week coming up this week, I titled this lesson, Seven Reasons Not to Worry. So, as we all know, life has its struggles, and we are often worried about what's going to happen, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And as I was studying through this, I kind of started making connections, and I came up with, of course, seven different points of not to worry. So this evening, we're going to examine Matthew 6. We're going to go through verse 25 through 34. But before we get too far on this, we have the opportunity to go to our Heavenly Father in word of prayer. So at this time, let's be so. Stay before us. Good to see everybody. So, life is full of worries. We're always constantly worrying about what we're going to do, where we're going to go, how we're going to make money, what we are going to eat. And especially now, at this point, especially with me in this point in the semester, where I'm at the very end, I've started to worry slightly about what's going to happen once I'm done with finals, or even coming up to this week for taking finals, because I'm not the best at taking tests. But after studying through this lesson, I've kind of gained a broader understanding and a better idea of what to expect, what to look forward to. So, I titled this lesson, Three Reasons Not to Worry, Seven Reasons Not to Worry. And very shortly this evening, we're going to go through, of course, seven reasons not to worry. So, beginning in Matthew 6, verse 25, of course, this is a Sermon on the Mount, so this is where Jesus was giving his big sermon of the day, his real heyday. So, starting in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more important? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So, the real context of this is the same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of that life. So, what we need to do is we need to trust God in both the good times and the bad times. Far too often we turn, or at least I turn, to Him during the bad times. And I need to turn to Him more during the good times. Continuing in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? So in this case, the context to be taken out of it is worrying about your future can hamper your efforts today. If we look at the birds in the sky today, they don't have to worry. They just seem to be living day to day and not having to worry about anything that's going on. And that's what we need to do. We need to worry about today, because worrying about the future can often hamper our efforts of what we're doing today. So reason number three not to worry. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. Matthew 6:27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? Another translation I saw of this was what you by worrying can add 1 year to your life. And this this really cuts deep, where you can spend all this time worrying about what's going to happen, but at the same time, it's useless. Because at the end of the day, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And the more time you take worrying about what's going to happen, the more time you're using that you can be using elsewhere. So reason number four of not to worry: God does not ignore those who depend on Him. Matthew 6, starting in verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, the moral of this point is, God cares. You know, often, too far often, we worry about the little things. I was looking at several statistics, and one of the biggest statistics is if you have money in your bank account, if you have money in your wallet, then you're richer than most of the people in this earth. So we don't need to be worrying about the little things, for we have a lot to be thankful for. We have roofs over our heads, we have food in our refrigerators, we have transportation to get to and from church, but most of all, we have the freedom to be able to worship openly. Not a lot of people have that freedom. So therefore, we don't need to worry about the little things, but we often need to take into account what we are thankful for. So point number five, worrying shows lack of faith and understanding of God. So starting in Matthew 6, verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all, these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So, the thing about it is, God knows what we need. We don't have to worry about what we need. I mean, the best way to put this is having faith as a little child. I mean, whenever you're 5, 6 years old, you don't really have to worry about what's going to happen, what's going to go on. You're just kind of living day to day. So by having faith as a child and depending on God, we can therefore grow and gain a broader understanding of God. So, point number six, worry keeps you from focusing on what God wants you to pursue. So, Matthew verse 6 to verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the important thing about this passage is this separates the can-do people from the will-do people. Everybody is a can-do. If you ask me, hey Cameron, can you make a study guide for your test? Yeah, I can do that. But does that mean I'll do it? Probably not. But that is what separates the can-do from the will-do. The will-do people are the people that say, yes, I will do this. I will follow through. And by seeking God, that is signifying the will-do. That is following and looking towards God and making your way towards Him and doing what he wants you to do, but will do. Finally, point number seven. And this is the best point. I think this really marks the main focus of the lesson. Living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. So the moral of this is, it does no good to worry about tomorrow. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, we're not guaranteed a year from now. But by living day, by being consumed with worry every day, we're therefore not focusing our attention on the stuff that is really important, the stuff that really matters. As stated before, it does no good to worry about tomorrow. I mean, I can worry about my finals all I want. I can worry about all I want, but whatever happens is gonna happen. I mean, I might not even get to take my finals. We just don't know. That's why we need to live one day at a time and focus on what really matters. And that's really what God wants us to do, is just live day to day following Him. One verse that wasn't included in this that I really liked was the question of being a history major. There's always you're always questioning why. Why did something happen? Why does this involve me? Why? Or even how? So the question to answer this is, how do you live day to day without worrying? How do you go on with your life not worrying about the little things, about the guy that cut you off on the loop? And how do you worry? How do you not worry about the very little things? The best verse that I found to sum that up is 1 Peter chapter 5 and starting verse 6. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I always like the King James version of this verse, where it quite simply puts, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's what we need to be doing. We don't need to be worrying about what's going to happen. We don't need to be worrying about what's going to happen. We just need to cast all our cares and all our worries upon God. And by doing that, we can live daily in our lives and not worry about what's going to happen. So in conclusion, we don't really need to worry about what's going to happen. We can spend all this time worrying about what's going to happen, where we're going to go, where we're going to be. But at the end of the day, we need to trust in God. And by trusting in God and by obeying His will, we can be assured that one day we're going to reach heaven. We never know the minds of those out there, but if there's anybody in the audience who is either fallen away from the church and wants to come back or has not yet been baptized, we ask that you come forward at this time and cast all your care upon Him as we sing this invitation.